Hello and welcome to 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton and a guest and good friend of mine, John Carson. It's been an interesting week of cleanup and quality control for games, so let's kick things off with the biggest news since last time, the release and PC recall of Batman Arkham Knight. Now, have any of you guys gotten a chance to play this yet?
I have. I picked it up digital download for the Xbox One, and I also got it early, so I got about $10 off and got the season pass. So I played through the whole thing in two sittings back to back. And
jeez, dude!
It sucked me in. It's fantastic. The Batmobile, it handles great. I thought it was fun that they added that in. There's a lot of concerns about it kind of just taking away from the gameplay or you being forced into it. It is used often in the missions. There are some puzzle-solving aspects. I honestly, the only time I was frustrated, with the Batmobile was initial battles with it. Mm-hmm. Until you're leveled up, you're pretty underpowered and slow moving when you're dodging and things like that.
Oh, so does the Batmobile level up?
So here's the thing. Just like in the past Batman games where you can level your gadgets and your fighting techniques and takedowns, the Batmobile has similar aspects. You can level up the strength of the weapons, the armor, how fast it can dodge. So basically, the way it works, if you're playing with a controller...
I've heard the controls are a little wonky.
A little bit. The default settings are wonky. The way you want to do it is actually custom set them to a driving style that makes sense for you. For example, the normal controls for when the Batmobile is in drive mode, you know, the right bumper is accelerate, X is reverse. When you hold down L...
X is reverse?
Yes, because when you hold down L, it turns it into battle mode where you actually become a hover tank almost, where it allows you to strafe and do these other things. So
yeah,
it makes sense from an aiming mode and whatnot, but really you should just create a setup where, you know, the left trigger is your reverse and X is a toggle into battle mode.
Yeah, I remember.
It works much
better.
I
saw that in an article. The toggle is the big one, but
yeah.
They don't tell you at any point.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
you just jump into the game. But as far, and I'll avoid spoilers, but the story is absolutely fantastic. They kept some aspects under wraps that a lot of reviewers were surprised that they managed to do so successfully. I will say that Rocksteady made a big deal out of creating this original character and going to great lengths, and honestly I think they built it up too much, because and again, staying spoiler free, I don't think it is as original of an idea as they made it out to be, but I'll let people decide that for themselves.
Regardless,
though, it's a very satisfying conclusion to the trilogy. There were some complaints about multiple endings, so the way this works, I'll address that again without spoilers. But you have your main ending that kind of ties up everything that happened throughout the game. Then if you complete a majority of the side objectives, I forget the percentage, and it's kind of the random quests, like rounding up side villains open world activities, you'll get a teaser of the true ending. And if you want the true ending, a screen pops up after you get the teaser, and it says you need to complete 100% of the objectives
now,
to get
it. Now,
wait
a minute. Define 100% of the objectives.
Every single riddle.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like 240 something.
Oh, my God.
So here's the thing. It's the ending itself is driving everyone to YouTube. I did achieve the second ending, if you'll call it that, by doing the side objectives. It's just the Riddler one is so draining, because if you've played any game, you know what a task that is.
Yeah, well, and did they do it the same way where they have, like, the trophies, but then they have the actual, like, Riddler story sections, too?
Yes. Now, here's the thing. It's the best the Riddler has ever been. They put a lot of effort into each of these, and it is more engaging than in the past. There's also Riddler races with your Batmobile, which...
Races?
Yes.
Oh.
That's exactly what I thought, and many other reviewers thought the exact same thing as soon as they heard there would be races. But they're actually, like, Riddler puzzles with your car, and it just give it a chance before you knock it. It was more enjoyable than I thought it would be.
Okay, all right.
But,
I'll stay open-minded.
The final ending, it definitely raises some questions. And the good news about the DLC is you play as important characters from the Batman universe both before and after the events that took place.
Sure.
So it should provide more closure for anyone worried about that. Also, one final thing. They made a big stink by having all the pre-order deals floating around out there with exclusives at different retailers.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if you do buy the season pass, it does include all of those once the timed exclusive period expires after a month or so, which, you know, it makes people feel better about
it. It would almost make it seem like it was worth it. I wish they'd announced it, though, before, like, a bunch of people had not done that.
Right, right. And apparently it was just a minor detail. They didn't make very clear.
Have they said what they're putting into that the season pass?
Yeah, so obviously all the pre-order stuff. Yep. There's the Harley Quinn prequel gameplay, which is all right. And then what they're going to do, they won't get into the story content yet, and I'm assuming that's just to remain spoiler-free. Yep. New challenge packs, things like that, a lot of skins, new races, different looks for the Batmobile. The Batgirl DLC is a big fan favorite that people are looking forward to. It's going to be a completely new area. Obviously a prequel story, since, in the game they've set up it's Oracle in the wheelchair.
Yep.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, gameplay wise, they've completely polished everything. They've brought in some really cool characters that I did not expect to see as side characters.
So it's not any of the nonsense like Origins where it was like, you have 1.25 playable characters.
Right, right. No, and also the tag team combat. Yep. Holy crap, is that fun!
That's one
like
of the
they,
I've
yeah,
seen from that
they
game.
Pulled it off fantastically. So basically, for anyone that didn't see it, there's going to be times in the game where you're playing with, for example, it'll be Batman and Nightwing, and you can change characters whenever you want and do tag team takedowns that will also switch the characters you're playing in and out. So it is very fun, well done, and highly recommend checking it out. Except.
I'm super excited. I was totally ready. I mean, this was a game. I wasn't going to pre-order it, of course. But, you know, this was a game I was really looking forward to on PC. And, oh, my God.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
So can I go out and buy that right now?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Henry,
lasted...
I really want this game.
Yeah.
I want to play it on my PC. I want it to look the best and run super smooth at 60 frames per second.
You know what I would say to that, though? Get a console, because then you can just pop it in and it'll play.
He
no
wants
worries.
60 frames.
I want
he also wants
60.
1080p.
You don't get 60 frames or 1080p. You get Batman that
I want
works.
The physics.
You get Batman that works.
Yes, and so that's... I love the debate, but that's the thing. That's the issue, is the PC version was basically unplayable. As I understand it, they pushed it out to High Moon to do the...
It was Iron Galaxy.
High
they
Moon.
They pushed it out to Iron Galaxy to do the port for PC, and... those are the guys who brought us, like, Dive Kick and stuff,
Dive
right?
Kick, they're doing Killer Instinct Season 2.
Did they do Season 1?
No, that was Double Helix.
Okay, see, now that's... Because, as I understand it, they don't have a huge history with PC ports.
No. They've been doing a lot of fighting game ports. So they did the Marvel Origins stuff on Xbox 360, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Oh, jeez.
That kind of stuff.
Some really good games, then.
Racketeer. Was them.
Racketeer, and I love that game.
What?
You don't
No, not that. Racketeer was...
Oh, I was thinking of the Japanese, like, item shop simulator, which is awesome.
Yep. I've been meaning to play that. but it's, No, Racketeer was a Kinect game for 360.
Oh.
Where you'd have a catapult, you'd shoot something,
oh,
and then you would control
your... Oh, it's like a Racketeer. Okay, it's a portmanteau. Okay, I got it. Ah, that's fun. Yep. So, yeah, but point being, you know, they're not pros at AAA PC ports, and it was bad. Locked to 30 frames per second. People have been reporting all kinds of different bugs, everything from stuttering to flickering to slowness and hard crashes to desktop randomly and constantly. It was so bad. I mean, I thought it was kind of funny just because I love seeing, you know, nerd rage, but... If you went to the Steam forums, less than 12 hours after the game came out, there were over 2,000 negative reviews.
Yeah, it is still thumbs down.
Well, it got so bad they removed it completely.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was just getting to that. Exactly. They, less than a week after its PC release, the game was recalled, and they are actually encouraging people to use the Steam refund system. Now, I'm curious, my first thought when I heard that they were recalling a AAA title, which is unheard of, was... This is Steam refund in action. I'm curious if you guys agree or if you think that maybe it was, you know, maybe they genuinely didn't realize how bad it was, which no spoilers for further in a conversation, but that may not be the case.
You know, I do think that Steam refunds have a big reasoning behind them pulling it. I mean, before, what, like 2 weeks ago, when did the refunds start, like, not long ago.
They started, I think, a week before Arkham Knight came out.
So
good timing.
Yeah.
Any PC releases before then, you would have, like, special case scenarios where Valve would be like, oh, okay, here's your money back.
Right.
We'll refund that. But now people have to own up to their mistakes on PC.
I think it's great. I've been so ever since Unity, I've been saying, well, ever since I heard about the refund and the fiascos with Unity and similar games last year, all the different Ubisoft failures, like, I'm really, really, really happy that the consumers actually have pushback. And I've been saying I was sure that we were going to get some awesome fireworks when the first major AAA title got heavily refunded. And, God, I did not expect it to happen less than a week from now.
Here we are.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm upset, too, because here's the thing. I really want to play this game. I mean, I love a Batman game. Even with all the day one bugs and stuff, I played Arkham City and Arkham Origins on day one. I mean, I love the free flow combat. I love a lot about it. Now, one thing I really wish I wish that they weren't so insistent on forcing new upgrades. I would have been okay with them just refining it. I know I haven't tried it yet, so I won't speak too much on it, but I'm still very nervous about the inclusion of the Batmobile. I feel like the whole good thing about the open world Batman games was flying around as Batman, driving.
Let me speak to that quickly. It is pretty impressive how interactive they made the world with the Batmobile. To say that, every single thing that hits is destructible. It's destroying walls of every building. It can, like, let's say you clip a building's corner, it will completely take it out. You can drive up some buildings. It's not like you have to worry about what you're running into, like in other racing games or open world driving games. Like in GTA, you clip something, you're put out of commission for a little bit, you know, until your car rights itself.
Sure.
It is an indestructible tank.
Because it's an all-terrain
vehicle,
right, is what
I'm trying to say.
Okay, I see.
I mean, it's a powerhouse. But that said, I didn't feel that I personally spent a lot of time in it. I mean, once you upgrade, and it doesn't take long to do this, once you upgrade your ability to fly and grapple, it's almost like you're a bullet just flying through the sky.
Sure.
Like it gives you options.
Sure.
The only thing that I was bummed about, and it was kind of a missed opportunity, is that they had the plot device to empty the city of civilians. I think it would have been very cool to have civilians present.
And that's been a big complaint, has been that the plot devices they're using, or the writing, is really good.
It is,
but then the, like, reasoning is really bad. It's just as bad, if not worse, as it was in Arkham City, which it also was completely nonsensical. I mean, I think that honestly this comes down to limitations to the engine, because they're still running on UT3, aren't they?
It's some sort of upgraded version of what they've been.
Yeah, exactly.
On.
I mean, and I'm pretty sure that this has got to be the last game that they can produce on it. And so I wonder if it's like maybe a character limit they're hitting or something, or just something with the engine that it's hard to render all the different things. Yeah. Do you think it's just laziness? Really?
I almost think it's like, how do you put Batman in that situation?
What do you mean, the situation that Batman is always in?
Right, but he's.
Isn't that, like, the whole point?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, saving actual civilians.
Yeah, I mean, even if you do it in a terrible way, like, I don't know if you guys played, like, Spider-Man 2 too much,
which I hope you do. That's a great game.
Probably the best superhero game. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So this is why we're friends.
Yep.
See, now,
that's Superman 64.
that's what I heard. That was the joke I heard was, I wonder if the next thing out of WB will be a new Superman game. But, you know, it's I want to like it. I'm devastated that the port was so bad. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, though, when it comes back out again. I'm not going to just condemn it and say it's not going to ever be worth it. Now, here's the thing, though. I'm going to give the writers and the, like, development team all the credit in the world. WB, however, I am not happy with. We got some issues with them. There's a story that came out just yesterday, I believe, that it turns out that several testers have come forward who were actually in the beta testing for the PC version of Arkham Knight, and they're saying Warner Brothers was aware of the issue, the myriad of issues and content problems with Arkham Knight, and it's disturbing. I mean, it's distressing when you hear some of the statistics. Like, they were so focused on on consoles that. Out of their 100-man testing team, he says roughly 10%, like 10 people, were doing the PC testing. And they were reporting hundreds of bugs a day. And most of them never got resolved.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, WB has to know better than to release a 30-FPS PC game. They have to, and you know they did.
Well, one of the testers even said that it almost remained unchanged from a year ago.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, they didn't do anything with the feedback.
From what I was reading, it seemed like a lot of the development was going into the console versions and making them work, and that the studio was largely unprepared for developing on the new consoles.
I agree, but the problem is this is a game that was packaged with new NVIDIA cards. My buddy, I just finished doing a gaming build for him, and he got a 980. He got a free copy of this game that he can't even redeem the code for. I hope they re-release it before his code expires.
And that's one of those things, like, do you delay the game if you have this big marketing push with NVIDIA?
No. You don't delay it. You just don't do simul release.
Right.
I guess when I think delay, I think after the fact, they'll say, now we're pushing it back.
Yeah, it's like, Assassin's Creed's going to be out,
they
like 2 months from now.
Staggered releases.
Like, GTA 5 took months, like, what,
and I was totally
and
okay, almost 2 years, I think, and I was...
Since the new console
version. Yeah, and exactly, and I was super okay with waiting. I'm still loving the game, and I got a wonderful working version. You know, there really weren't very many bugs by comparison to most AAA titles at the launch of GTA 5 for PC. Like, the heists were, well, working after a week or two and stuff like that. I mean, it was night and day.
Yep.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And the fact that I'm just so disturbed that WB was aware of this. You know that what they were doing was saying, ah, well, nobody's going to complain that much. And then they went, there's a refund system on Steam? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Well, also, how do you even settle on, you know, that studio? Why not go with a known name?
Why not go with Monolith, who have just knocked it out of the park with Shadow of Mordor?
Right.
They did an incredible job on the development of Shadow of Mordor.
Did they do the PC version, though?
Yes, specifically. Okay. They did the PC port. I don't understand why you would give. I mean, I guess it's cheapness. I mean, I've seen some speculation online. They've said, like, they do low bids and overpromise and stuff. Yeah. But look, I work in IT. I'm in charge of working with a lot of service people. We're working on our HVAC system right now. I deal with that same stuff where, you know, people are jerking you around or trying to overcharge you or whatever. But that's just how you play the game. You got to just learn to play. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know. I'm horrifyingly disturbed that WB would release a $60 title, specifically including with like some of the people who played upwards of 100, and then just recall it like that. And then to encourage people to use refunds, here's the thing, WB. The people who haven't already refunded your game are the diehard fans who have put more than 2 hours into it because they want it to work.
Yep, they keep trying and trying.
I've restarted. Exactly. Yep. I've done that. I've just tweaked settings and just constantly rebooted a game for a good 3-4 hours before I get into it, even with a working game, because I want it to run perfectly, and GeForce Experience is not trustworthy. I mean, it's just, it's interesting. I don't know.
With the PC version, I have heard of many many instances where the game does work pretty well. But I've heard with AMD cards specifically, things get real jacked.
I'm okay with that, though, because I think that AMD has always been kind of the...
But I have one.
Well, I mean, good for you. I mean, lately they've been better. But, I mean, if you've looked at the ratings, even on their newest line of cards, they don't beat out NVIDIA. Like, NVIDIA, it's NVIDIA is to AMD as Intel is to ATI. Like, I mean, you can get an ATI, sure, but, I mean, I'd rather have an Intel. Yep. Like, I just trust it more. It's more reliable.
It's all AMD now.
Oh, sorry. Yep. Are they merged now? As you may be able to tell, I haven't bought a product from either of them since like high school.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
I had a graphics card that overheated and soldered itself to my board. So
Is that what they're supposed to do? Or?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on how cool the game is.
That's when it's becoming sentient. Right. Like trying to make its own living being.
Exactly. So here's my last question before we move on. I'm just wondering, do you think that the AAA developers, specifically WB, but others as well, are going to now be wary of PC? Do you think we'll see less ports? Do you think they're going to be more thorough going forward, or will we see delays? Or is this just, do you think this is just unique to WB and this doesn't necessarily set a rule or anything?
Well, I don't think they're going to see less ports because they're just cutting out an audience, and at the end of the day, it's about the money that they can rake in.
Well, I mean, they've never had a problem with that before. Halo makes tons of money, and only two of the games are ported.
That's true, but I mean, those
Red Dead Redemption never came to PC.
That is true, but I was thinking that Halo, I guess, falls under the exclusive category. Fair point with
Microsoft
Red Dead.
Microsoft owns Windows
No, I know.
So it might. It would still be a Microsoft.
But it's just. It's always been that console. But
I know. But sure. But I'm just saying.
We're getting.
Well, no. I'm just wanted to clarify because as far as the terminology goes, now when they say Microsoft exclusive, they usually do mean it's still coming to PC.
Right.
Like they say that a lot now. I mean, exclusive is thrown around too much. You do need to clarify because nowadays when someone says exclusive, they might mean timed exclusive.
You have to like.
That's also.
You have to corner someone and be like, so like, is this coming to PS4 later?
Exactly.
Or is this?
Like, because as I understand it,
when's the PC release?
And we can talk more on this later, but as I understand it, eventually Destiny is maybe coming to PC, but God
knows
when.
Yeah, the roadmap for the original was just consoles. Might come later on.
Maybe Destiny 2 will be on PC.
Yeah.
It just seems like a natural evolution. Anyways, I'm sorry. I completely derailed you.
No, that's fine. Basically, I don't think this one incident is going to drive them away. Actually, I think that they're going to put more effort into making sure they release a quality product just from the pattern of developers. And
you look at it and you learn. And that's
– You hope.
You hope, yeah, because that's kind of my question though, because like how many bungled releases did we have last year? I mean, last year was a joke.
Just all over the place.
Look at the trend of the developers and producers and – or publishers, excuse me. Actually listening to the consumers and kind of following through on what we're asking for. I think that's going to be another
case.
Well,
I mean, where is what's the PC game you're pointing to that's
Oh, not a specific PC game. I'm just saying that, you know, they hear the outcry, they see the lack of sales and the complaints. I think they're just going to, in the future, make a better effort to deliver a quality product.
And to be fair with PC releases, PCs are a complicated thing because not everyone's the same.
Yeah.
So you have to...
Yes and no, though.
You have
to
develop for,
when you're
that's why they have recommended
with
specs.
NVIDIA, I expect you. And
sure.
I'm sorry, but like, you know, if it runs well on a 360, it's Microsoft. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's I don't know. I feel like, especially with the new consoles, they're more similar to PC architecture than ever before. Yeah. And you can't try. I mean, I don't believe that having a couple graphics settings really is the most taxing thing. I mean, being like having variable
but
settings.
But having different. RAM, different processors, different video
cards, I understand
that kind
that.
Of stuff. It's a moving target.
You're right. That's definitely true. And I feel like that's more of an issue. This is a conversation for another day, perhaps.
Yeah.
But I think that also kind of points towards like how long should a game be supported after release for new hardware that's coming out and stuff like that. I think a lot of it though is more of a fit X into slot Y. You know, so it's more of a when they release the drivers, it just works with the code.
Yep.
But you know, I'm no developer, so I'm not sure. But anyways, so that's enough on Batman. More or less, you know, it's if you can get it on PS4, as I understand, that's the best place to play it. It's
false. There were actually some significant errors with PS4. I believe the leaderboards are crashing.
Why is everything
I'm
reading saying PS4, PS4?
I read up on some PS...
Okay, sure.
Well, I read up on PS4 problems. I haven't heard anything on the Xbox One. So what I was hearing actually was that it was the platform to go. Regardless, both consoles are up and functioning 100% right now.
So if you're
going to
get it,
out.
You can get it on console. If not, be patient. You'll probably get a superior version with like... I'm guessing we're going to get all the PC will get all the pre-order. I'm calling it now. We're going to get all the pre-order bonuses for free
hopefully.
An apology. I'm sure.
That'd
as
be good.
An apology.
Well,
yeah.
At that point, they'll probably throw the season pass in because that's what half the...
No, too much.
Really?
Because
that was a big chunk of it.
They're going to release forward
content.
Like, because that would then include future DLC.
Sure.
They won't do that, I don't think. Maybe they'll give us one DLC
They might
instead.
Have a week of like, hey, we're discounting the season pass.
Like when Unity had to totally get rid of their season pass.
Exactly.
And give us,
Anyways, moving on from, you know, terrible development practices, let's take it – well, actually, moving on is temporary. So we've seen another strange gaming move by Apple. I don't know if you guys remember some of the previous stuff we've seen with them saying games are not art, saying they don't want any political games on the App Store. I remember – I think there was a game – it was like something about Fallujah, that it was an Iraq war game that they just would not allow on. Issues with Papers, Please because of the quote-unquote nudity in the body scanner scenes.
It's terribly graphic.
Yeah, exactly. Terribly graphic MS Paint
art. There's a lot of graphics.
All the graphics. And so the issue is that now with a lot of the stuff that's going on politically in the U.S. right now, they've just unilaterally pulled unilaterally but temporarily pulled all Civil War games off the App Store because they're using the Confederate battle flag in the game.
So for, I guess, backstory on this, wasn't it like Amazon,
Walmart,
like they pulled everything that had Confederate flags in there.
Right.
So a couple days later, all of a sudden you see news stories about these Civil War games being pulled off of the App Store.
Yeah,
which that's weird because there's context to that. That's yes. not just, hey, I'm a redneck who supports this flag.
Right. And the immediate thought comes to, you know, what about World War II games with Nazi flags and things like that?
Exactly.
But then you think about, you know, regional banning, obviously in Germany,
right. Sure.
Illegal, and Australia has its problems. But no, to be fair, Apple just blanket.
Well, and I'm not a big fan of, like, not being able to have historical accuracy. I mean, I do definitely feel that, you know, it's people should know of it. It's true. I mean, if you're going to do a game that's the Battle of Gettysburg, yeah. it's got to be in the game. I mean, that's just – I don't know. I agree. I think it really does come down to the World War II argument is we have swastikas in games on flags, but we understand that it's the Nazis. I've played video games like Wolfenstein. Oh, yeah, Wolfenstein Enemy Territory and stuff where you can play as the Germans. I mean, yeah. for God's sakes. Right. I mean, I played Command and Conquer 3 as the terrorist guys, but that doesn't mean I support yeah. terrorism.
It's the difference between supporting
GLA.
Something.
What? I just remembered their name. They're the GLA.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's the difference between supporting something and knowing its context.
Really.
Exactly.
Right. It's not like you're out there advocating that it be oh. acted upon, yeah. or and you know these are Civil War games. They're historical recreations of you know.
Yep. Yes.
Real life battles, especially the biggest stink was Ultimate General because that's actually a very popular game on Steam and it was a very good iPhone port. And, you know, you play one of two sides. And they pulled it simply because the flag was portrayed. And, you know, there's a point where you can't just erase history and not
sure.
acknowledge it.
Although, just to clarify, as I understand from several articles I've now read, like, that are more recent, it sounds like Apple didn't really explain to everyone what they were doing, like, including the developers of these games when they pulled everything, but it's looking now like the requirements that you have to meet are that there are no Confederate battle flags on the icons or on the promotional images, like, when you are browsing the App Store.
That's fair.
And so, I mean,
that's
look,
probably for the best.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, well, yes and no. I mean, like, some of them that I saw, it's like they have a crossed flag, and one is yep. the Union flag, and one is the Confederate battle flag. Yep. Like, I don't necessarily think that's endorsing anything, but at the same time, I think that this is – I still think they're being unreasonable, but this is the most reasonable way they could go about being unreasonable.
Right. Sure. And they certainly acted very impulsively when they just immediately yep. pulled anything. I mean, the developer of Ultimate General was very adamant about, you know, we're not going to alter our game just because of this. Like, they can take it or leave it, and yep. a lot of fans stood by.
They're not supporting what the flag represents.
Right.
It's just part of history, really.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and it's a game. I mean, for God's sake, it's
severely unfortunate history.
Exactly. And so, you know, there's not really too much more to say about that outside of, like, pretty much everyone seems to agree that Apple are being crazy. But, you know, we thought they were being crazy for a long time, and they've brought us some pretty good stuff. So who knows? Maybe this is a secret strategy, and the App Store is going to explode with new games without Confederate flags.
But, hey, Apple listens.
Yeah.
T-Swift took them down in a day.
So moving things along, Apple isn't the only one who's making these politically charged moves this week. As we've seen, that Destiny has also got some crazy political backlash of its own, maybe a little different kind of politics. The Destiny expansion has been announced and detailed now since last time we talked to you guys, and people have some opinions. And I'm going to go ahead and pass this one over to John because he's our All right. resident Destiny expert.
Hey, I've played that. So, basically what's going on is, what is it? The Taken King
yes.
is the new expansion that's coming right. out later this year. There was a version of that game that is a collector's edition for $80. It includes the base game, the previous expansions, or I guess they're expansions? Expansion
packs. I think they're calling them DLC.
Yeah, DLC. And the new Taken King stuff. As well as some dance emotes that are exclusive to this edition.
And a couple shaders, which
shaders.
According to my friends,
they're
is
important.
A really big deal,
yeah.
I guess, because
yeah. you
can't just
cool.
have dyes for free in video games anymore.
No, they actually drop, which is weird.
Yeah, that is odd. But yeah. but just to clarify now, is there a separate version for if you already own the previous DLC
oh, yeah,
in the
you
game?
Can, you can get the Taken King for $40 by itself.
But can you get the emotes?
No.
Or the shaders?
No.
Well, okay. So I guess I'm confused. So they're not. I mean, I'm not a Destiny player, so okay. I've read the story, but I figured I must have misunderstood something.
Mm-hmm.
So basically their most loyal fans, the ones who have been sticking with them, are going to be punished for having already spent money with them.
Yeah, they need to buy the game again.
Okay. Now, but there has been a little bit of like newer news since that original announcement, yep. right? There's some kind of trickle of you getting it.
Yep. So basically Luke Smith, one of the developers on Destiny, has come out in some interviews talking about people having to purchase this $80 collector's edition to get these special emotes and shaders.
Sure.
And so in the coming days, people did not like what was written there by Eurogamer.
Yeah.
That was the interview that
yeah, wasn't that the interview that he said literally that they would throw money at the screen?
Yeah, they would totally throw money at the screen
if you could see an emote. Yeah, which, for the record, for those who don't know, like, an emote is when your character acts out, like, dancing is an emote. It's basically if your character has a special animation.
You need to pay to express yourself.
For social stuff. And to be clear, most games, I mean, sure, World of Warcraft might be a slightly bad example because it has a monthly fee, but by default, in the base vanilla game of World of Warcraft, there were a couple hundred emotes just for everybody.
Yep. So what this all boils down to is, instead of having a collector's edition of just the expansion, they're going to have the expansion for the people who have purchased the game already, and they're also going to have now a $20 additional DLC for these emotes and the shaders separate. For the people who have already purchased the core game before.
Some weapons and new missions or something?
So,
I mean, there's more value than just emotes. Because isn't it like three emotes and three shaders?
Henry, do you like Red Bull?
I don't like where this is going.
So that pack is just those extras from the collector's edition as far as we
know.
So
you're paying $20 for dancing and different colored armor?
Yes.
Fancy dancing.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Is there any other kind?
I could.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, no.
It's not that kind of podcast.
So, okay. So what they're also doing is they're partnering with Red Bull at 7-Elevens. So when you purchase a Red Bull, you get a code for an exclusive mission, multi-tiered mission for the Taken King, and an XP boost.
I'm just happy that 7-Eleven's still around because that is news to me.
Not around here. I looked.
You can get an experience boost from...
It's similar to kind of what was done with Call of Duty. If you got Mountain Dew or Doritos, you could plug in.
So,
I mean,
but
we're talking about progression in an MMO, not unlocking guns in, multiplayer progression in a first-person shooter is very different from what Destiny's progression means.
This is the natural progression or evolution of where that was heading.
The way Destiny works is you get to level 20 on experience.
Right.
And then you get gear that has a light stat. So as you gain light, then you go up levels from there.
Oh.
So
it's just kind of like gear score in World of Warcraft?
Right. Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
So really, that double experience or 50% experience boost only counts until you're level 20.
Well, presumably, since there's going to be a new expansion,
they might bump that. Yeah.
So, I mean, and how long is this? Do you know how long this event's going on for? I mean, that sounds insane. I mean, I hope it's at least like short-lived. It just seems like, I don't know. I always get really, really, really nervous when I see these things. Oh, here, I got the link here.
Okay,
so it's going on for a month. So that makes me feel slightly better. A month is not.
It's not like they're dragging it out till the next expansion or something.
Yeah, because it seemed like that Halo one went on forever.
Yeah.
The Halo Mountain Dew promotion. Oh my god,
that was like holiday release.
Oh,
like going all through like December. Yep.
Well, that's great. I mean, I don't know. We're seeing some really like kind of just nasty business practices by several big developers right now. After hearing about WB and now hearing this, I mean, who's I mean, is there stuff to look forward to in the expansion in addition to this stuff? Like, is it going to be still worth getting the expansion for those who aren't going to get the collector's edition? Maybe they don't care about dances.
I mean, there's new content. There's a new place to go to.
Is this supposed to be bigger than, like, the DLC and stuff they've added so far?
Yeah. So the DLC has really just been a new raid or a new multiplayer mode and new gear and stuff like that. So the expansion is going to be an entire new zone on a ship.
That you can explore around, and it has its own missions and raid.
How do you feel, though, that, you know, a lot of people were hoping for an entire new planet,
right,
or more? You paid $60 for a base game,
yep,
with three or four planets.
Yep.
You're paying two-thirds the price now, plus the two DLCs that have already popped out for $20 a piece, and there's still not a new planet. They haven't really addressed the story issues. You know, do you feel that the content is worth it?
Well, I just want to add to that question. I'm also curious. You said it's $60 for an expansion to a $60 game?
No, it's $40.
Okay. So it's only
60 if
you
want emotes.
A little better. Okay, I thought you said it was.
And you want the emotes?
I want those emotes. I want my class dances. So the expansion is a new world, essentially. It's on a ship. It's its own, basically like planet, but just not a planet. In semantics.
Okay, so it's as big as a planet, basically.
Right,
it's adding
right. It's a
content.
Whole new area.
Okay. Well, that'll be exciting. And hopefully this time they'll do a little bit more to flesh out the story, because as I understand, it's pretty sparse at the moment.
There is no story. People talk at you during loading screens, and that's about it.
I'd explain, but there's no time to explain.
Yep.
Why there's no time to explain.
Yep. Nathan Fillion says some things to you.
That's makes it. You feel like a yep. jerk. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, summary, everyone is mad at everyone's pretty mad at the Destiny guys as well, just because this is questionable. The comment about throwing money at the screen, they're so sure that their fans are so rabid that they'll just take any terrible deal. Now, and that said, all of this said, I may not be the biggest fan of Destiny myself, even though I haven't really played it enough to really have a strong opinion yep. about it. Almost everyone I've talked to about this, I'll try to get them riled, basically, because I think it's funny, and they don't care. They're like, you know what I'm going to do after this conversation? Go farm some shards. I'm just like, okay.
It's one of those games,
say?
Like, if you like playing it, you're going to play it.
Yeah,
like,
I suppose.
I like the way that game plays. If my friends want to jump on and play a strike, I'll jump on and play a strike
sure.
with them. It's something I could take an hour of my day. Doesn't really take that much commitment besides pointing.
Sure, it's kind of like me jumping on Diablo 3 every
right,
once in a
right.
while. Fair enough. So. Which, unlike Destiny, though, I think we're just coming up right now on the big 2.3 patch, which is going to be adding a whole new zone to Diablo 3 and a new Herodric Cube-type item and some really cool new features for free, because that's how good developers do it.
Is Fancy Dancing being included?
I don't know if
can
dancing
I slash dance?
Is, I'm not sure dancing
I don't think
is
you
in Diablo. I don't. I, well,
then it's not
it's
as good.
Blizzard
you can
game.
Click
it's
in
not
a circle.
As
good.
It's
as
a Blizzard
Destiny.
Game. They might. I'm not sure, actually. But trust me, Blizzard has no shortage of customization, and I don't want to brag, but I was dyeing my armor all afternoon, and it didn't cost me a cent. All right, so let's move along, though, here. I don't want you guys to think that it's all bad news this week. Let's bring it to a little bit of a lighter note. I want to talk about the new Terraria patch. They've just released the third big Terraria patch. It makes me really, really happy because I love this game. For those that don't know, Terraria is like a two-dimensional side-scrolling kind of Minecraft-type building game with procedurally generated worlds and significantly improved combat from what you might expect. If you played Starbound, it's by the same developers, but I'd say it's vastly superior for content and for just the playability. It's just a more complete game. I love it. I'm curious, have you guys played this at all? Because I've put like 800 or at least 800 hours into Terraria. I love this game.
I bought it during a Steam sale, very cheap.
Okay,
and
supporting the developers.
I did play a couple hours. Now that I can see revamped town NPCs now sit and avoid monsters, I think that's enough to pull me back in.
just so you know, the trick was to just build their houses off the ground level, and then you don't have to worry about them being attacked. But
no,
I hear
no.
you.
But no, it is a game that I have heard nothing but good things about, and I definitely want to delve in deeper. I think that's why I initially didn't stick with it, because with you know, all the other games you pick up during a Steam sale, I think I had gotten the Darksiders
sure.
collection during that period. I just wasn't ready to sink the time needed into it.
That's a toss-up. I don't know which I'd rather play at any given time, Darksiders or... Had you ever played the Darksiders game?
I had not,
before?
No.
Okay.
That was my jump.
I think
really
I'd
good.
Get into Darksiders
really
if you've never played them before. Yeah. The first one's really, really good.
Yeah.
Second one's okay.
The second one.
And there are rumors that it is not entirely dead yet. We are for sure getting a collector's or a remastered version of the second one. Yeah.
Edition. Yes. I'm
like
curious. I've heard there's some comparisons that I want to take a look at one of those later on. But bringing it back to Terraria, I mean, the new mode, they're adding in new game modes. There's over 800 new items. There's new enemies, new biomes, new animations, new AI, as Max was saying earlier. And it's, I mean, these are huge. Last time, the 1.2 patch, which was also pretty massive, added, it basically doubled the content in the game. And it's amazing. I went back to it after having put several hundred hours into it and completely started fresh and loved every minute of it. I've got a bunch of friends who play with me, and it's a really easy... If you're looking for a good multiplayer game that's kid-friendly, I highly recommend this. I'd say this is more accessible to adults or, like, bigger gamers even than something like Minecraft. And again, it is similar enough that if you have a kid who likes Minecraft or a little brother, this would be a solid gift for him as well. I mean, and again, though, I just want to point out, this is how... This is one of the differences, I guess, between PC and console, because costs differ for rolling out big patches and stuff. But this is what, as a PC gamer, if you're ever wondering why I seem so maybe entitled a little bit when I talk about DLC and patches and stuff like that, it's because Terraria, I paid $20 for a couple years ago, and the amount of content in the game has increased by like 400%. Like, it's, yeah, there's so much. It's all free. I've never spent more than the day I bought any money, except for the money I spent on the day I bought it. And it's just, it's a gift that just keeps giving. And that is kind of typical of a lot of PC games, of getting big free patches. Like I said, Diablo 3 is getting a big free patch here. The Witcher 3 just had its big, it just had its first quest editions a couple right. weeks ago, right? Yeah. I mean, and that's free. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I guess maybe I've come to expect developers to want to garner a really good relationship rather than it being more like, I kind of feel like sometimes the way console – the development – the relationship between a console developer and console fans is more similar to, like, a TV advertiser and their target audience, whereas with PC, like, developers, I feel like a lot of them are PC gamers who became developers. I think there's a lot of people, like, at WB and some of these big publishing houses that are businessmen that got into the gaming industry rather than gamers who got into their own industry. I mean, what do you guys think about that? I'm being too much of a PC elitist here. I mean, I don't want to come down completely hard on the new consoles.
No, there's this there's a culture of having people pay everything up front for your game, for your season pass, for your DLC, and have it all pre-ordered ahead of time. Lately, I've been seeing ads for movies that aren't out yet in the theaters and like being able to pre-order them.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
For a digital copy, one that comes out. Yet, like when you can get it in your home, like it's ridiculous.
Ever since I've been very afraid ever since. I mean, as funny and hilarious and great a statistic it is for your non-gaming friends, the day that I heard, what was it, 2 or 3 days after GTA 5 was announced it had paid for itself in pre-orders,
right.
That is a very, very scary fact. I mean, that shouldn't happen. Thank God for, you know, what I'm really curious about, now we've seen the first big AAA backlash, what I want to see next is not necessarily want to see, but what I maybe for the health of the industry, what I'd like to see next is a big backlash and or huge refunds on a game that was so heavily pre-ordered that they are the company, you know, a lot of these games that are so heavily pre-order dependent spend money that was spent on a quote-unquote finished product on the development of that finished product.
Yep.
I want to see what happens when you spend all the pre-order money and then everyone refunds the game. Like, I mean, that is how you teach a developer a lesson. I mean, that's how you really – because they shouldn't be – I mean, I worry a lot about some of the business practices we've seen in gaming. I mean, I remember back before – who was the Mortal Kombat Studios, the original?
Just Midway.
Midway, yes. When I remember when Midway went out of business, some of the stuff they were auctioning off, statues made of gold,
yep.
pool tables, pinball machines everywhere. I mean, look – I get that it's exciting to celebrate corporate culture and, like, a successful game and to have cool, like, Google-like offices, but then there's, like, just greed or, like, just
yep.
sheer excess.
There's, like, the 80s game developers, there's stories of them blowing all their money on hotel rooms, drugs, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Sonic Team.
Atari. So, like, these days, people are seeing that. They're learning from it. A lot of the people in higher-up positions kind of came from that.
Sure, sure, sure.
So
that came from kind of the Wild West of video
right,
games.
Right, right. And for the most part, they've lived it. They know what not to do, and they're kind of putting it into other greedy places.
Sure, sure, sure. And, I mean, and we are seeing – I do feel like some of the developers that are like that, that are very detached, Konami, for example, are kind of seeing the way the wind's blowing, especially as far as the consumer relationship needs to go, and they're moving into other, you know, more guaranteed successful markets
mobile.
Like gambling and mobile. gambling is the big one that I'm thinking of. And which, I mean, is there a difference at this point between gambling and mobile games?
No, when you can pay for a little slot machine.
I'm pretty sure. So I was at Treasure Island Casino for the KQ Halfway to Vegas event. I was running a remote broadcast, and I swear to you there are better odds on real-life video poker than on, real-life video slot machines than on app slot machines. Yep. I promise you, because sometimes I'll like to have just, like, one of the – just a slot machine or, like, a, you know, coin pusher type game on my phone just because it's fun to see coins rain down and I like getting points and stuff. But, I mean, I know I'm not winning anything, but they're also free to play. So that's – it worries me when you see these microtransactions that are giving in a game that gives you a worse deal than legal betting. Yeah. Like, you should not be getting worse odds in the video game.
It's the ease of access for it. Like, it's in your pocket, as opposed to having to go to a casino.
And on top of that, you can get them while they're young. You don't have to be 18 to download an app.
That's true.
Right.
In fact, now that I think about it, I'm surprised that a lot of these any gambling type game, even if you can't win like physical money from it per se, I'm surprised that you can spend money on it as a minor, like at all. Because you can't. I remember like when my parents wanted to go to a casino. Actually, the casino I got to go to was rad because they had a bunch of Segas set up for in the kids' daycare. And I got to play the Chester Cheeto Genesis game.
Can't beat that.
But
always good.
You know, it's you don't you no matter what, even with parental approval, as I understand it, kids cannot go into casinos, and so like it's just crazy to me. I don't know. I worry because I feel like there's some really really bad practices going on specifically in the gaming industry right now, and I don't really see this problem in other entertainment mediums.
And that's where you speak with your money. Like, if you don't want to support that kind of stuff, don't do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I mean, Fallout 4, I'm going to pre-order it, period.
Right.
I do all this talk about how don't pre-order games, don't do this, don't do that. I'm still going to pre-order
it. But you like that specific developer's track record.
Yeah, well, I bet a lot of people liked WB's track record. Their last PC release was one of the best PC ports we've seen in a while.
Sure.
I mean, it was a great PC port. Sure. I had no problems with Shadows of Mordor.
Now, you know, you mentioned the pre-ordering Fallout 4. Are you bothered that the Pip-Boy edition is already sold out and they're not making any more after kind of flaunting that out there and things like that? Or
yes,
you know,
and no.
Should they not be delivering if they're wanting these pre-orders?
I think here's the thing. If they're smart, they're going to make it. They are going to just sell it on their store for a stupid amount of money because I would buy it. But also, since the app doesn't require the Pip-Boy, doesn't bother me as much. And also, I don't know if you guys have read some of the reports on it, but as I understand it, bigger phones don't fit into it anyways. The iPhone 6 Plus doesn't fit into it. None of the notes fit into
it. My friend is very mad about that because
exactly.
He pre-ordered it. He's like, I have a 6 Plus. What am I going to do?
They really should have said that in the keynote. I'd say that's probably the biggest knock against Bethesda this week. Oh, and I was going to wrap things up, but before I do, I wouldn't mind giving Max the floor for a second. Speaking of Bethesda games, we have quite an interesting development on the Fallout Shelter app. As I understand, there is a bit of an exploit going on.
So it has been discovered by people still in the initial stages of the game. When you first start getting your missions in initial Vault Dwellers, there are two missions that pop up. One is going to be sell a weapon or outfit, and the other is going to be, equip a dweller with a weapon or outfit. You can complete these missions, just do not collect the rewards for them. What will happen is the third remaining mission, it will turn into a cycle. For example, the cycle I now have is collect 50 food, collect 50 water, and level up a dweller. Now, these will cycle indefinitely, and you can keep getting lunchbox after lunchbox after lunchbox, and it is fantastic. It's a kind of a cheat to the system, which I'm okay with because they're charging, you know, $20 for 40 lunchboxes, I think, right now. And it just, I've had well over 40 lunchboxes, and you don't get nearly the rewards available at that time. So check it out.
That's a lot
of it's all over the internet.
J's.
Yeah. Right. And I just have a big stack of Fallout lunchboxes at home now, just sitting
there.
So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, here's the thing. As always, we don't endorse exploiting a game with real-life, real-life monetary stuff. But
I'm not exploiting it. I just
Of course you're not. What we what I'm definitely not saying is that if you definitely didn't want to stick it to someone for selling you a Pip-Boy that your phone doesn't fit in, a really definitely not good way to get back at them would definitely not be to use this exploit.
You know what, and we were talking off air about this, but in a system where, you know, if you accidentally delete your game or, you know, you create a new vault or whatever, let's say you did invest $20, $40, $60 to get all those lunchboxes, they're completely gone.
Yeah.
You put real money in and it is gone.
The fact that you can lose, because this is a game where you can lose, especially because of the broken 5-minute wait system where you lose your total resources after 5 minutes of inactivity. You're draining your total resources, but you're not continuing to produce them without collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
You can totally come back to it, have everyone starving to death, no way to get the resources up fast enough, and then when they start dying, when you, like, I've had, like, 4 or 5 people down to half health and, like, half radiated because of no food water or electricity, I think it is, and one rad roach attack will wipe out your entire vault. It will. And when everyone's dead, you're done. I mean, you're done. What are you going to do? Wait for someone to show up at the door randomly and then one by one revive everyone?
Right.
I mean, you're literally done. And that money, there's no way to transfer it. All that money, you're right. It's just completely gone. And that's beyond unreasonable, in my opinion. That's ridiculous. That is not just short-sighted. That should be considered a bug.
Right. And,
that,
and here's
they can't
the thing.
Possibly have thought
you,
that through.
I've started over multiple times now to get, you know, my ideal setup off the bat. And when you delete a vault, you get a very clear disclaimer, like, you are losing all your progress, any lunchboxes you purchased are gone. They know about this, you know, and they're okay with it.
Anyways, I'm still going to give Bethesda the benefit of the doubt because I love Bethesda to death. Like, I really do.
They're funding those Pip-Boy Collector's Editions.
I don't care. Say what you will, I will fanboy out. Every single Bethesda game made since Morrowind has been great.
I'll let you try my Pip-Boy.
one other thing I do want to say. They came out and confirmed that there will not be a Skyrim 2 because they are not that kind of developer, which I think we should be thankful
for.
That doesn't even make sense.
People were wondering, like, you know,
there are Elder Scrolls.
Absolutely.
Games.
They didn't understand the system. But
I'm
with
12,
the success
Skyrim 2.
of the Skyrim game, they figured, like, oh, we'll have to shoehorn one in there.
Yeah,
another
right.
setting
well,
in Skyrim.
Just for those that don't know, the way that they do the Elder Scrolls progression is they're not serials in, like, that they're literal sequels, but they are a very loosely ongoing storyline, usually like 50 to 100 years apart or more, and they take place in the same world with the same characters, but, you know, if it's 100 years later, everyone from the previous game is dead. But they will allude to what happened in said previous game. In Skyrim, if you're ever wondering why they're always talking about the Nerevarine, that is the main character from Morrowind. Mild spoilers, but that game's old enough that you can get over it.
Yeah. And also, it's usually in a different continent altogether,
yes.
too.
Well, that's the draw.
But they do crossover, because, like,
Skyrim DLC?
Dragonborn expansion, yes. The Dragonborn expansion.
Dawnguard?
Nope, Dragonborn.
Dragonborn?
Yep. The last expansion that came out.
Somebody needs to go play more Skyrim.
It's definitely called Dragonborn. The one where you can fly on a dragon?
It's called
Dawnguard.
Nope, Dawnguard was the werewolves vampire. Or sorry, it was just vampires.
Yeah, you're trust me. Don't question me on Bethesda.
Internet, help me.
But in Dragonborn, you get the... in Dragonborn, you visit Solthsheim, which is the, like, it's an island nation that it's kind of like Nordic colonial land. And it's just northwest of Vardenfell, which is, like, the continent that Morrowind is on. So you can actually go to Solthsheim in the Bloodmoon expansion of Morrowind. Hey, okay. So fact checker, am I wrong?
You are correct.
No comment.
my only complaint about it was a little gray. I was really hoping for a Shivering Isles type, you know, totally different color palette. Just, you know,
sure. I don't think we'll
stories.
Ever see something as good as Shivering Isles. I mean,
that
oh
was so
my
fun,
god!
Though.
I'm serious, you guys. It's worth the cost of admission just for the intro sequence. When that room explodes into butterflies, you'll never forget
so cool.
it. The walls turn into butterflies. Need I say more? Go buy it. Seriously, that is how you do a DLC. Yeah. I'll give you that. Although, flying on dragons, even though it was only, like, you know, half-baked.
It was broken.
I don't know about broken. It was maybe a little half-baked, right. But it worked. It just didn't work the way you wanted it to.
Right.
But it did work the way it was intended to. And
Fair
I think
enough.
It was to prevent you from just completely breaking the game. Yep. That said, I loved that, and I am really excited to see what the next one's going to be. I'm hoping that it will be set in Elsewhere. I really would like to.
I think that's what everyone's hoping.
I've heard some that want Elsewhere. I've also heard some that want what's the name of the homeland of the Red Guards? It's the desert area. We'll come back to that, but I wouldn't mind seeing one set there either, because as I understand, they actually have pretty diverse climes there. So they have like deserts and also jungles, which would be a nice change of pace, because usually it seems like with their games, they just do one thing. Like with Morrowind, really, it was the mushroom trees and stuff like that and mountains. And in Skyrim, it was, well, generic fantasy game. And so was Oblivion, was really generic. And so, like, I would like to see some more character come back to the world.
And I did some research. It is Hammerfell.
Oh, right. Yep. Of course. Yes, thank you. So mm-hmm. I would love to see either the next one to be Elder Scrolls Hammerfell or Hammer Scrolls Elsewhere. Although Elder Scrolls Elsewhere does not exactly roll off the tongue. No. So maybe they'll call it the Khajiit one, which would also be acceptable. It's got cats. Buy it, Internet.
Yeah.
All right. So it's been real fun. Thank you so much for joining us today, John. Hopefully we can have you again sometime soon.
It's been a pleasure.
This has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. We hope you enjoyed listening to the show, and you can find more of our podcasts on iTunes and 105theticket.com. As always, don't forget to leave a review. Thanks for listening, and game on.